On this episode of the Wrestling Brethren podcast, we are here with a prime cut where we talk all about technology. AOJ Will, get us started.
What up? This is Josiah Williams, and you're listening to the Wrestling Brethren podcast, where wrestling and pop culture collide. Yeah.
Welcome to the Wrestling Brethren podcast. This is episode 258. I'm your host, Josh Wiener. With me tonight is Jarrett Aubrey. And tonight's episode, it's time for a prime cut. And on this episode, we are getting into some technology talk. And Jarrett, I know you're an expert in the field, and you've had lots of experience, but tonight, everything that we are discussing is powered by Poddex. Yes, a podcasting tool of questions and topics made by Travis Brown and his wonderful website and app and podcast training and all things podcast learning at poddex.com. So I have a subscription to his app, which gives you free access to all of the interview decks and topics and things to help your podcast create content and things like that. So Jarrett, not only how the hell are you, but how ready are you to answer some technology-based questions?
Well, I appreciate you throwing around the word expert. I have been doing this for a couple of decades plus, but we'll see what you throw at me. It's great to get back to doing these and bringing out the pop culture and the where wrestling and pop culture collide. And it's awesome to support somebody like Travis, who has been doing some great things in podcast world, who is trying to do nothing but help the average podcaster like you and I do bigger and better things and succeed. So you can do no wrong by supporting Travis and his products. So let's go, Josh.
All right. Well, on that note, let's get things started. And keep in mind, these aren't really serious, but they are based on your experience and what you know. So with that, let's get the first question out of the way. When you get a new tech toy, do you read the instructions or do you just figure it out?
Oh, dude, just figure it out. there's no RTFM anymore. It's figure it out.
Figure it out. Get frustrated. Look for the manual. Look at the first page. Say, nah, I'm going to do it myself. Figure it out. Get frustrated. Rinse, repeat over and
maybe
over again.
Check the interwebs if you get so frustrated.
Although I will say, when it comes to like audio stuff, like when I got this microphone from Mayono, I did have to read a little bit because I've never put a boom arm together before. And that's not really the technology part of it, but, I did have to read up on it a little bit. Some of the audio things for podcasting, I wasn't an AV guy. I wasn't the AV nerd in school. So it really depends on what it is and how familiar I am with it. But even for things like video games, they'd be like, nope, I don't need to know the controls. I'll figure it out.
Oh, I hear you when it comes to frustration. So, I mean, I've got some decent pro audio recording gear here, and I'm a Shure fan. I've used Shure microphones. I've used 58s for vocals and bands, and I've used the 57s for recording gear, guitars, amps. So I went out and I got an SM7B for this podcast, and usually connecting AV stuff is pretty simple. You have an input and an output, and sometimes you just have to chain them together to make them work. Well, you'd think that if you plugged a microphone into, channel two of your mixing device and then told Windows to look at that channel to make it work, it would just work. But oh no, thank you, Skype. It only listens to channel one. So you know how long it took me to find that on the internet and get frustrated about not having this very expensive microphone work?
Yeah, indeed. It took you a couple of episodes to get that straightened out.
It was something so simple, too. Wow. Plug it into channel one. It's going to work. Oh, look at that.
That reminds me of back in the day when you had to turn your TV to channel 3 or channel 4 to play video games.
And you had that little slider box, you know, attached to it, the gamer TV, and you had to hit that little switch too.
Ah, technology in its infancy. All right. Well, moving on. This might require some additional thought, but what's your favorite movie about technology?
Oh, my favorite movie about technology. I could go over there. Hackers is a classic. The Social Network was interesting, but I'm actually going to go to a documentary that is not that old on Netflix. And I believe it's called The Social Code, if I remember correctly. And I've never been the biggest social media fan. I've used it. I was kind of big on Twitter a while back, and even then I've dialed back my Twitter usage. And I'm definitely not a fan of Facebook, but this documentary is astounding as it gets into all of the AI and the things that sites like Facebook and Instagram and Google and those companies will gather data, the profiles they build on us, what they know about us, how our data is stored and used and sold to make money. It's pretty incredible. It was pretty eye-opening, and I thought I knew a lot about this kind of stuff, and I watched this thing and I'm like, really, they're doing that too? It's like, oh my god. So I even dialed back my my social media usage even farther after that.
That's interesting. An interesting take on that. For me, I'm going old school, and it's not even 100% about technology. It just included technology in it, but it was the first movie that I saw where I had my interest piqued and like, wow, how did he do that? And is how close to reality is that? And, you know, how can I maybe replicate, not the entire movie, obviously, but and that was War Games. Nice. 1983, a young Matthew Broderick wanted to play global thermal nuclear war over a modem, a dial-up modem, way back in the day. And just everything about that movie just had me like glued to the screen just because it was so good. And like I said, it's not completely about technology, but technology was used in that movie, as, you know, archaic as it was. It was obviously current at the time, but that's probably what got me into computers and everything was War Games.
Yes. So if I ever, you know, send you a message over Teams or Signal, like, would you like to play a game of chess? You're going to run, right?
No, I'm going to say later. Let's play. All right. This one is like an appetizer to the follow-up question, but this one is Nintendo or PlayStation?
Nintendo.
Now, do you own a Switch or any of the more recent devices, or just based on your anti-Sony bias?
A lot of it's anti-Sony, but you know, back in the day I had the original NES, I had the 64, I had the Super NES. I did have a PlayStation, a PlayStation 2, PlayStation 3, PlayStation 4. I had them all. Just Nintendo's catalog, I'm going to put it that way. I mean, so all the Super Mario stuff are just iconic classics compared to, you know, the Sony stuff I never really got into. The PlayStation 2 is actually more for my ex-wife was than it was for me, because she liked playing the karaoke type games. But yeah, just overall, yeah, Nintendo, pretty easy call.
Nice. Now, did you ever own a GameCube?
I did.
I remember going to the store the day those came out and waiting in line and going inside, and it was a Black Friday sale. And, you know, they were trying to tell you how to how to, you know, strategically go through the store and get what you're looking for. And I'm like, yeah, what if I'm not here for Black Friday? What if I'm just here for the GameCube? Can I get into a different line, my own line? Can we do that?
And obviously it worked.
Oh, yeah. I ended up with the purple GameCube. So
nice. I'm trying to remember if I had the purple one or the blue one.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think it was the blue one.
I don't even have it anymore. It's like, you know.
Yeah,
I'm not like Adam Cole, who I just found out by listening to an interview of his that he has like a console collection. Like he had said he bought a first edition of some console that was like the first console ever. And I had never even heard of it. And I can't even remember what it was off the top of my head, but he owns that. I wouldn't be surprised if he owns a ColecoVision and, you know, he has like a whole museum of consoles. I'm not that hardcore, but yeah. So when I'm done with one, I usually don't end up keeping it.
Yeah. I remember my ColecoVision.
That was the first console I ever played Donkey Kong on.
My buddy had an Atari 2600.
Yeah, so did I. I never got the 7800, but 26, and then I forget where I went to after that. Probably the Nintendo Entertainment System. Then I had most of the ones that you mentioned already. So yeah, that was the path. Okay. So the next question, obviously this one's going to be easy also, but PlayStation or Xbox?
Dude, did you even have to ask that question?
It's like a gimme question in case another one stumps you.
Yeah, dude, my Microsoft, I'm a Microsoftie all the way.
Except for Xbox, Skype, absolutely. Right?
I'm not a fan of Skype. Hey, Microsoft is far from perfect. I will go on record as saying that, but yeah, damn it.
There was a point in time where, and usually I don't own two consoles at the same time, but there was a time where I did own a PlayStation and an Xbox, not simultaneously connected together, but you know.
Yeah,
there are some titles that were exclusive to Xbox and plenty of sports titles that were exclusive to PlayStation at the time. So I had to have both.
Yeah, I actually got a PS4 to play Spider-Man and MLB The Show and God of War. And I finished those and that was it. I'm not buying a PS5 just for Spider-Man. Mm-hmm. MLB The Show has moved over to Xbox. So yeah, I have no more use for PlayStation. I'm done.
Yeah, and I'm a PlayStation guy, and I have no interest in 5. I mean, 4 suits me just fine. All right, so the next question. Does it bother you that your tech is always listening to you?
I thought about that, and no. I mean, it's always listening, and people will make that argument that it's, you know, it's invasion of privacy and all that stuff. I know it well enough that, you know, it's sitting there right on my desk looking at me, but it's not doing anything because I haven't called it. I haven't triggered it. I haven't done anything. So I'm comfortable in the fact that until I trigger it, that I'm pretty safe.
One experience that I had was it doesn't even have to be you. You know, there's always those jokes about the wife picks up the phone and starts talking to it by saying, you know, babies, baby clothes, baby this, baby that, to get a guy to see all these advertisements about babies. Well, it doesn't always have to be you. It can be the environment around you, because I know I had my phone on a table and I was watching old episodes of Saved by the Bell. And all of a sudden, the next time I looked at Facebook, there's like advertisements for vintage 80s clothing featuring Saved by the Bell. And I was like, it's a little too coincidental.
I think I was a victim of a great home automation prank. And it happened on this very podcast. I'm not sure if you remember, but I do a lot of poker playing, and I was playing online with a buddy. And in between games, you know, stepped out for a bio break, grab a drink, take the dog out, whatever we do. And in the time that I was gone, he threw my computer through the speaker, through the air, triggered my Amazon unit and set a reminder for podcast time to remember to order some dildos. I'm not sure if you remember that, but oh my God, I was like, it was loud as heck. It was while we were recording. I'm sure you had fun editing that out. Well, yeah, that was pretty awesome. That's like bonus points right there. That's like 100 points to Gryffindor for that one. That was well done.
Not to mention anytime you watch wrestling and Little Miss Bliss is on the TV and your device goes crazy.
Yeah. I'm sorry. I don't understand that.
At that point, I was consuming my wrestling almost entirely through Cody. And when I was doing that, I had to change the wake word or I had to turn it off. It's just every 10 seconds during a match or whatever, it was lighting up and talking back to me. So
I got to press that mute button before I watch Monday Night Raw. Next question. How often do you get a new phone?
Wow. I've been through a lot of phones in my lifetime. I had thought that I had just bought one this summer, because I was no longer going to have access to my corporate phone because I changed jobs. So I better go out and get a new phone before this one goes away. Did that. And then the Surface Duo 2 was announced that it was going to be a real thing and it was coming out this year. So guess who pre-ordered a Surface Duo 2? And it's going to arrive in a week and a half-ish. I'm super excited. Normally it's every couple of years, but just depending if there's breakthroughs in hardware, like how many Lumia phones did I go through, Josh? I had the 7. Yeah. I had the first Samsung one. I had the 720, the 920. I had the 1520. Then I had the Lumia 950 XL. And then I've had various Samsung. I had an iPhone at work, and I've had various Samsung devices getting refreshed every year or two at work for quite a while. But yeah, now I'm going to settle into my Surface Duo 2.
And then he won't get one for quite some time until the Surface Duo 3.
Yeah, it's going to have to be a major, major upgrade for me to get another one. I'm not going to lie, folks. That's a beefy hit to the wallet, those phones.
Yeah, which is pretty much why I stick with whatever the calendar is for my next upgrade. Unless something drastic happens where I need to get a replacement, but usually that's covered by a deductible through insurance. But yeah. Mine is usually a year and a half to 2 years, depending on what kind of upgrade I set it for. I just happened to get the iPhone 12 Pro Max back in April. Usually my upgrades were coordinated to coincide with Black Friday and Thanksgiving weekend, but stores stopped doing the sales and the gift cards, and so why should I bother waiting around for a sale that probably won't happen? So I chose the last time I chose to go a year and a half instead of 2 years so that it would flip the cycle to the spring instead of the winter. And that was after having a couple of years of Samsung devices, and so I started in the iPhone world, went to Android, back to iPhone for personal reasons. And so, yeah, just usually I just follow the upgrade cycle. So every 2 years-ish. How closely do you follow tech news?
Very, very. I'm subscribed to all kinds of tech newsletters. It's been part of my job for years. I'm all over tech Twitter, lots of sites I check out on a regular basis. Yeah, that's been part of my job and my life for the past almost 25 years. So, yeah, pretty closely.
I dabble. No, I'm just kidding.
Yeah, I dabble just a little.
See, I follow it depending on what the situation is for me. I don't have a job that's directly tied to it. I have to stay in the know on internet things and Wi-Fi things because that's what my job entails. If I'm close to getting a new phone, I will do the research and obviously follow the news for device releases, technology advancements and announcements. I'll watch unboxing reviews on just all technology aside, not in addition to phones, I should say. Hell, I've watched reviews on keyboards. So
yep.
I'm very interested in that stuff. So if there's something intriguing or interesting to me, I will consume it.
Indeed.
Okay. This is another either or thing, but Google Maps or Waze or Waze, depending on how you pronounce it.
How about neither?
Okay. Maps app of choice.
Yeah. I've been a heavy user of Bing Maps. Well, all through the Windows Phone days, it was Nokia software, which was awesome. They still have the Nokia Here app, which I use once in a while, but I've been a pretty devoted Bing Maps user for quite a while now. Basically, fuck Google.
Another thing I already knew about you, but that's all right. I liked Waze or Waz or whatever. I don't even know how it's supposed to be pronounced.
Yeah, it's Waze. Yeah.
All right, Waze, as in your traveling Waze. I did like it for a while, and they had the like celebrity downloads for directional voices. I had Morgan Freeman directing me around. I had Sam Jackson directing me around at a time. That was fun. But
Morgan Freeman would be awesome.
When you can make a legal U-turn. No, that's a horrible impression. Anyway, so I don't know. I stopped using it because, I don't know, when searching for like establishments, it was very, the search was very outdated or hit or miss, or it just didn't seem to work as well as some of the built-in maps that come with your phone or that you could download. So plus I don't think Waze would like integrate with your contacts the way Google and Apple's apps do, to where all you have to do is type in like your friend's name and like it'll pull the address from your contacts and then give you directions. So I find those are more integrated and better to use.
Yeah, I think the niche use case for me with Waze is if I want to look for traffic issues. If I'm going somewhere and I'm not quite sure where I'm going, and it's rush hour, maybe it's just outside rush hour, I might check it. And especially now, it's a big construction season here in Winnipeg, so I would check it sometimes. Just to, you know, is my route going to be a construction route? There's going to be a lot of delays, so I'll use it once in a while, but it's pretty rare these days.
Gotcha. Okay. How smart is your car?
My car's pretty dumb, actually. I've got a 2017 vehicle. It doesn't have any smart features built in. Like there's no Android Auto. There's no Apple CarPlay, none of that stuff. It was just kind of right before all of that became super popular. So, if I really wanted to, I can plug my phone in and use Amazon, but that's about it.
Well, we have a 2018 car that's our newest, and I'm still rocking a 10-year-old 2011 Hyundai Sonata, so that has zero smart features on it. But the 2018 Equinox does have the ability for Android Auto and Apple CarPlay. Beyond that, I don't think there's too much smarts in my cars.
So, yeah, and I have an Equinox, too, and it's the 2017, so I got it the year before all the cool stuff came out.
Now, when ours was in the shop most recently, we had a loaner of a 2017, and it was like getting the old-school rental car where it was just bare bones.
Don't talk about my car like that.
I will say it's bigger. For some reason, the 17 was bigger than the 18. But the dashboard just sucked. So we were glad to give that back.
I like my car.
Now you're going to go out to your car and be like, don't listen to what that man says.
Yeah, yeah. I won't be playing this podcast in the car, that's for sure.
We're just going to fast forward through this part.
Okay. Although mine is an LT version too, though, so I got a few more bells and whistles in.
Oh, well, there you go.
The regular folks do, but it is still not super smart.
Have you ever had to learn a new technology for work to not become obsolete?
Oh, God, that's been my entire career. Always, yeah, you always have to learn. I was an IT operations manager, right? So everything from, you know, our Windows environments to VMware to Citrix to AIX and Linux and, Jesus, even AS400. I was responsible for all of that stuff. So I had to keep up with all of it. New editions of the operating systems, new programs available, features, security, installation methods, all of that. I had to always keep on. And of course, then the move to the cloud too in the recent years. So, you know, Azure and Amazon. Yeah, I'd still keeping up with all of that stuff.
I don't think I had to learn it to not become obsolete. I just know that in any job I've had where technology is involved, I've always said, if I don't know it, I can learn it in probably a day or a week, depending on what it was and how much time you're going to give me to devote to it. I know that this is not like a new technology, but I've been in a job where I had to like retcon my brain to older technology because that's what was at the workplace. I remember the current version of Windows at the time was 98 at this job that I started, or at least generally speaking. And the first day I started, they're like, oh yeah, we just upgraded from 3.11 to 95. I'm like, oh my God, are you kidding me? So I had to like go back in time and try to remember, because they had some computers and on 3.11 and some computers that were just like the day before I started upgraded in quotes to Windows 95. I'm like, wow.
Well, speaking of 95 and that era, my former place of employment, we actually just got rid of the last Windows NT server 3 years ago.
Holy cripes.
How's that for legacy, pal?
Sounds like a commercial. We don't just use legacy, we define it. Yeah. All right. Next question. Would you like to own a robot butler?
Oh, I have my girlfriend's stepsons for that kind of work right now. So
that kind of also ties into the technology listening to you.
Yeah. I think it might be cool for a little bit and then the novelty would wear off. Remember the robot from what was it? Rocky 3?
Yeah.
Rocky 4. He had that white round thing. It was terrible, but yeah, no, I think that might be kind of weird. I'm not sure I'm ready for that yet.
A taller Roomba. All right. Overall, do you think technology makes our lives better or worse?
I'm actually going to say both. There are magnificent human achievements that we've made because of technology. Think of the things we can do today, like this conversation we're having, even basic communication, you know, 10 years ago, that would have been pretty tough. On the other hand, I've seen, you know, a complete shift in kids and different generations and how people are and behave. And for example, I have friends where their kids sit in their bedrooms all day watching YouTube or playing a game, or they're on a device of some kind. I grew up, I think, in probably one of the last cool childhood generations where, you know, I might have had a game console, but my fun was I had to be outside. I was out playing sports or doing whatever. And nowadays, that is very rare. It's people are sitting in front of the TVs or playing on devices. So I think that side of things has been changed negatively because of technology. But then again, like I said, you know, 90-year-old William Shatner just took a private space ride, a couple days ago, which was freaking amazing. I watched that whole thing on the webcast. It's like, this is incredible. You throw a bunch of people in a capsule. You can pay to be on there, go up, experience some weightlessness, see space, see Earth, come back down safe and sound. That is pretty freaking incredible. So yeah, there's the yin and the yang of that, I believe.
Yeah, obviously arguments can be made for and against. Completely in line with everything you just said. I have two girls under the age of 12, and they are addicted to their screens. So, but at the same time, we do encourage outside play and try to, bring balance to that.
Yeah.
But definitely a different generation than when we grew up in, for sure. Along those same lines, but in a different light, do you think technology stifles creativity or encourages it?
I think it encourages it with, let's go to music, for example. With the gear you can buy these days and the way you can record and create at home, you don't have to pay money to go to a studio anymore to record your work. You can spend a few $100 and get everything you need to do it at home and do it very well and very high quality. That would allow, for a lot of room of creativity to do things on your own. And that's just one small example. Drawing and painting on things like a Surface Studio, for example, without buying art supply. I mean, that's a really expensive art supply, but I mean, you can draw and erase right on your screen without going through mounds and mounds of paper, et cetera. Like, there's all kinds of examples you could use. There's even maybe two sides to your question. Does it promote creativity? I think it enables creativity. I think we still have to have that within us to be creative, but I think technology certainly enables us to be creative.
I think this is not as 50-50 as the previous question. I think if you're creative, that doesn't change based on technology. I think the technology and the tools through technology enable more opportunities to be creative, depending on what your field of creativity is, or what your output is, or what you're trying, what your end game is for your creativity, whatever platform that you're trying to express your creativity on. I think the technology has so many more tools available to you, even without paying for it. There are free versions of things that are still quality producing, to where there's different levels. There's free technology tools. There's low budget, mid-range budget, high-end budget stuff. And that applies for everything technology related. So yeah, I don't think it maybe stifles creativity unless you're letting the technology distract you from what you were originally doing. Then that blends into other problems, lack of focus, attention span, things of that nature. But that can be anything that distracts you, not just technology. Technology just happens to be there.
Yeah, I would, I'm certainly not a writer by any stretch of the imagination. But if I was going to sit down and write a book, do I want to write it all? Do I want to type it into a word processor? Right. So I think it's certainly the right word is enabler there.
For sure. Okay, another gimme question, I think. do you like to always have cutting-edge technology?
Do I like to? Yes. Do I always? No. Like you said, there are many different forms of budgets. And, I was thinking about, so on my desk, I've got three monitors. I've got two that work provided because I work at home. I've got one of my own. And I was thinking, and the one of mine, it's a 4K monitor. It's a bit bigger than the other two are. It's like, I could just go out and get another 4K monitor and switch all this up. But do I really need it? Like, you have to justify the need for the cutting edge stuff. Like, So this, I mean, this microphone I bought, could I went out and bought, you know, $100 microphone that worked perfectly well, or did I want to get something really high end and make it sound great and do it the right way? Cause I'm not going to use it just for this. I'm going to use it for recording amps and music and things like that. So I put out the extra money and I bought a very, very high quality device. I'm one of those guys that I love to have all the latest and greatest and cutting edge stuff. Can I always justify it? Can I always afford it? Not necessarily.
Yeah. I think the question as laid out, would you like to? Of course. One of the things I hate with a passion is helping somebody else get better technology than I have. And I'm always willing to give advice, but I used to post social media posts back in the day. I mean, like, when your parents have better technology than you do, like when I would help them computer shop or something like that, or smartphone shop, and be like, yeah. If only I had the money. So yeah, again, would I like to? Of course. Is it always practical? No. Did you grow up jamming with records, cassette tapes, portable CD players, or MP3 players?
All of the above. So when I was like really young, I had records. Like when I was a kid, I had records, and I had the Smurfs record, and I had some other things of that ilk. And then when I got into serious music, it was cassettes. And then graduated from there to CDs and Walkmans, and then from there to MP3s to the home recording outfit that I have here. So yeah, I've played with almost all the formats, if not all of them.
I will do you one better, and I grew up on 8-tracks.
Oh, my parents had 8-tracks. So have I used them? Yes. Were they mine? No.
Well, yeah, right. Oh,
8-tracks were cool.
Yeah. If you thought blowing on a Nintendo game to get it to play was archaic, you have not tried 8-track tapes, my friend.
Oh, man. My mom and dad and their Kenny Rogers 8-tracks. Wow, that was incredible.
And yes, obviously, I'm not older than Jarrett, for those listening. Obviously, I did not own them. They were my parents, but they were in the house. Okay. How old were you when you got your first smartphone?
My first smartphone was the Samsung phone running Windows Phone 7.5. When was that, Josh? Because we were in the same boat. So early... Well, that was early 2000s, late 2000s. So I would have been 30 to 35, somewhere in there. I fought off getting a smartphone for the longest time. And then I saw a Windows Phone. I'm like, crap, I guess I have to get one.
Well, according to the Wikipedia, Windows Phone 7... operating system was released worldwide on October 21st, 2010.
2010, okay.
And in the United States on November 8th, 2010. So that was
right,
7, so, but if you had 7.5, then that was...
No, I actually did have 7.
Oh, okay. No,
well, that Samsung phone was 7. So in 2010, I would have been 35.
Well, my first smartphone, God, if we go to first cell phone, that's further back. But first smartphone, I believe, was a iPhone. I know that. 3GS, I want to say.
Nice.
So if I type that into the wiki, iPhone 3GS. Unveiled on June 8th, 2009. And I'm sure I didn't get it right away. So maybe 2010 in the same boat as you. And 11 years ago, I was 34. So almost the same age.
Yep.
All right. Let's go on to the next question. What is your favorite piece of technology?
Oh, yikes. Oh, that's putting me on the spot. Probably my laptop. I'm using a Surface Laptop 3, and so it's probably the center of everything I do other than my phone. So, you know, doing this podcast, all my music endeavors, all that recording and creating is all done on here. Any, you know, web stuff I'm still doing is all still done on here. So yeah, I would say my laptop.
Yeah, for not putting much thought into it, I would also say my laptop, just because it's the hub of everything. It's dual purpose. It's my work laptop. It's my home laptop. It's, like you said, the center for podcasting, creating. I do one computer game on it. So if you want to call that gaming, I guess, more like simulating. But yeah, it's the be-all, end-all, and it's less than a year old. So, yeah, that would probably have to be the same answer for me. Although, given more thought to it, I'm probably sure I could come up with a more interesting answer. But
yeah, well, I was thinking, you know, do I pick my Xbox? And, like, I think, you know, I'm, you know, we just said how old we are. You know, I'm getting close to 50. Like, my video gaming is slowly starting to drop off. Although I still enjoy a great simulation, you know, hockey, baseball, whatever it is. Laptop.
Yeah. In my, just a quick sidebar, my out of the park baseball simulator, I'm in the year 2029 now.
Oh, geez. I think I'm in 2027 in the show, in my road to the show career.
Nice.
Hey, speaking of video games, I got to throw a cheap plug out there. So November 6th is Extra Life Game Day. So Extra Life is an organization, a charitable organization that supports the Children's Hospital Foundations across North America. So on November 6th, we're doing Game Day. And if you would like to so donate or contribute and support these kids, through your local children's hospital, check out extra-life.org. And if you want, look for the team You Just Got Fragged, and, you know, toss us a bone, help some kids, and, we'll see you on the 6th for game day.
Has it been a year already?
It has. I got work planned already. I'm taking the day before off so I can sleep, cause I will be on for pretty much the full 24 hours. And I'm taking the Monday off to help recover.
Nice. Well, that's a good transition, because the next question is, what's your favorite computer or video game?
Oh, my favorite computer or video game. Oh, just doing a quick scan of my earlier years. I'm going to go with, like, the Assassin's Creed series. There's been a couple clunkers in the series, been some awesome games in the series. Probably Assassin's Creed 2 and 3 for me. And Origins. No, not Origins. Oh, it was very good too. Odyssey. Was probably taking the forefront for me. The look is amazing. The environments are awesome. The story is one of the best stories I've ever played in a video game. Absolutely love it.
I'm going to take the lame, cheap way out, and I'm going to say it's a tie between two franchises, and that's the two primary ones I play, and it's the Madden franchise and the MLB The Show franchise.
Surprise.
I was just telling somebody at work today that I'm so old, and I've been sports gaming for so long, I remember the Madden series when it was originally called John Madden Football. And then before MLB The Show, I started on the NES. So there was Baseball Stars and the cheat codes to get all the players leveled up on your team for free. Then there was, you know, Tony La Russa's baseball for the computer. And, they tried to transition that to the Genesis, and that failed miserably because it just didn't have the same hard drive memory that a computer would. So that failed. But yeah, like I remember all that stuff.
Do you remember, so I'm getting off topic now, but do you remember pro wrestling? It was NES or SNES.
Yep. No.
Wasn't that awesome? Yep. I was like, was it Starman, the guy in the pink outfit? His brainbuster was amazing. It was my favorite move.
It was the precursor to Stardust back in the day.
Yeah.
Gimmick infringement.
Nice. I need to see if that's emulated somewhere. I want to play that again.
Oh, I'm sure it is. All right, next question. What's a feature you wish smartphones could do?
Holy hell. Dude, you might stump me here. What can't I do on my phone that I want to do? I am not a super hardcore phone user, especially now that I'm not using Windows Phone. It's like, okay, tap an icon and do your thing. Man. Well, maybe that's it. I wish we could go back to live tiles. But I might have to take a pass on this one, Josh. I don't know. Like, it's not. I don't sit around and wish my phone can do this. That's a hard one to think of.
Yeah, I can't even think of anything top of mind. But I know that when new phones are on the horizon of being announced, and you're listening for all the features, and sometimes when you don't hear something, whether it's something that, you know, a quote unquote expert told you to be on the lookout for or something like that, and then it doesn't get announced, you're kind of disappointed. But I don't know. I mean, I think maybe just I wish all smartphones had the same, I don't want to say specs, but like refresh rate. Like everybody should be at minimum 120 hertz. There's no reason to have less than that, just for the scrolling smoothness itself. But, you know, I guess that's part of keeping costs down.
Well, yeah, right. And it's, you know, you talked earlier about, you know, low budget, mid budget, high budget, right? So do you want a Samsung, you know, like say like a Galaxy 21S Plus or 21 Plus, or, you know, are you going to get something a bit cheaper? Like that phone's pretty expensive. You know, if, you know, you can't afford that phone, do you get a lesser device just to have one, but you can't, you know, maybe you can't afford the big one.
That's what she said.
I walked right into that one.
All right. If something goes wrong with your technology, do you figure it out or call in an expert? Or do you just say, bitch, I am the expert?
It's pretty much, bitch, I am the expert. We used to have a saying around my previous work, because we were all system administrators and especially experts in the Windows environments on my team. So my manager used to say, you know what, if you have a problem on your computer and you can't fix it, if you can't fix Windows, and you don't deserve to work here. So that was kind of drilled into us he was joking, but it kind of drilled into us that, you know, we need to figure stuff out. But yeah, it's, I can't remember the last time I contacted support to actually fix something. I'm usually able to figure stuff out. It may take some internet searches maybe, but I'll get her done.
Me, the only time I'll make a phone call is if the internet is out and I can't fix it myself, knowing all the tricks that I know. Usually it's by the time I get to the point of calling them, I'm like, you know what? Let me just check right quick if there's an outage and this is their fault anyway. And 9 times out of 10, I'm like, oh, I just wasted my time because there's an outage.
Yep.
Okay. Another thinking question. What tech item or app that other people love are you refusing to try?
Oh, I got to call Candy Crush. And the, there's that one. There was that, I can remember the name of it, that thing where you had to like walk around and find, was it the Pokemon thing? And you had to walk around and actually go find them in real life kind of thing. Like there's guys at work that did that.
Oh, absolutely. Pokemon Go.
Yeah, that's what it was. Absolutely refused to do that.
So fads, basically.
Yeah. I don't get involved in any of that stuff. I do what I do.
Right. I have my ways. Don't try to change my ways.
Exactly.
And not the map app.
Okay. Well, some of that just comes from deep-rooted hate of Google and Apple. So,
all right. What are your thoughts on cryptocurrency?
You know, it is what it is. If people want to use it, fine. If they want to invest in it, if they want to mine it, go for it. It's not my cup of tea because it's too much work. I'll just use my regular digital money. Thanks.
Yeah, I haven't looked too much into it, but it just screams scam to me.
Yeah, there's that little side of it too, right? Like it's like right now it's such a niche community and a thing. Like it's, I don't know, how do you drive up the price of something like that without some shenanigans being involved? And it's like we're just getting to the point now where some, and by some, I mean very, very few. It's very, very, like, how can I go to a hockey game or a restaurant and pay with Bitcoin? Like, it just doesn't exist, right? Like, so I, just for that reason, it's just not ingrained yet. It's not popular enough. It's not easy enough. So yeah, I'm out. I feel like I'm on the Shark Tank or something.
I'm just an old fuddy-duddy, and I don't want to learn it.
Well, I'd actually considered, you know, we were talking earlier about building our own machines, and so I have at times a thought, well, I'll just put together a machine with a case and a couple of nice GPUs in it and a network connection, and just let it mine Bitcoin. I'm like, but what am I going to do with it? And for all the reasons like I just said, like I wouldn't know how to use it.
Yeah, I have a coworker that checks Bitcoin like he's checking the stock market, and I just don't know how that translates into real money, but whatever, that's neither here nor there, nor is it my concern.
Yep.
All right, we're almost to the end here. We're at question 23. Did you ever get excited to buy a new gadget only to be disappointed by it?
I'm going to say yes, but I'm trying to think of what it was. Not everything I've bought over the years has been a home run, and I'm trying to come up with an example. Probably, you know what, the Nintendo Wii was bad. I don't even know how to explain it. It just didn't feel right. It didn't look right. I don't know. I was completely disappointed by it.
I think aside from the Wii Sports game that came with it, there wasn't much fun factor into it.
Yeah.
And then once you figured out all the cheats around the Wii Sports games, like barely moving and not getting much activity, it stopped being fun for that too. So, I think... From my perspective, I think just anything that I went cheap on and was expecting more than I paid for, kind of a you get what you pay for type of thing. So if I try to go the cheap route on something because I couldn't afford the higher end version of it, or, you know, like at first I didn't want to spend the money for AirPods. And I still didn't because I got them for Christmas. But before that, I had gotten like the dollar store version or the Five Below version of AirPods that, you know, crapped out every 2 minutes or whatever. So I think just those things where you expect it to work, but you also have to realize, you know, how much money you spent versus the product that you're actually getting. All right. Final question. And again, these are in no particular order. What is a great app that you think that more people should be using?
Ooh. I'm going to quickly scroll through my phone. See, because even though I spend a lot of time on my phone, I'm not a heavy app user. I bet you I have maybe, I'm just taking a quick look. Maybe 60, 70 apps on my phone. I really like, and as a game, I really like Fairway Golf. And so it's a solitaire game. If you ever played it, it's, I can't remember the name of it, or the type of solitaire, but it's the time where it's everything's kind of stacked, and you can pick a card that's either higher or lower than the card that you have in the deck. And it's all golf themed, which is awesome because I'm a big golf fan. It has gophers that try to come up and make holes in your course, and you can buy clubs to help you remove cards, and you earn coins to buy things. I mean, it's all free to play. There's no none of that kind of stuff, but it's just graphically very well done. It's the golf theme is very awesome. It's fun to play. It's a nice time killer, and I think more people should play it because it's just an awesome game, and I have a lot of fun playing it.
I'm going to go the cheap plug route, and I'm going to circle back to how we all started, and I'm going to say the Poddex app put out by Travis Brown. I am a member, and when you are a member, you get access to all the interview decks. If you've purchased any physical decks, they get added into the app. There's a monthly giveaway. You can go through the explore and learn section, and there's many tips on vocal warm-ups and social media for podcasts, finding your next great guest, all these little seminar videos. There's a toolbox that shows you the best, better and good options for microphones, interfaces, headphones, software, hosting, video, lighting, courses, and accessories. And there's all kinds of things within the Poddex app. And if you're a podcaster, serious, hobbyist, what have you, you can't go wrong by using the Poddex app. And no, they don't sponsor this podcast, but it doesn't matter. It's still a great download.
Yeah, I can't add much more to that. I think I propped him pretty well before. So yeah, it's, I mean, he's doing really good things. Good old Travis.
And that is the Prime Cut for this week. Not too shabby for not having been in the swing of things for quite some time, but we're going to do more of these almost like a series. I know coming up in the near future, there will be a foodie version of this, a baseball version of this, and probably a movie version of this. So be on the lookout for the interview series, we'll call it. And any final thoughts, Jarrett, on our tech talk?
I am looking forward to the ones that you have mentioned, and this was a lot of fun too. We haven't had a chance to talk tech for a long time, and like I said, it's really great to get back to, you know, where wrestling and pop culture collide. That's been the tagline for this show and all the way through our A1 wrestling days as well. So always fun to do. It's always fun to talk to you about this stuff. And I'm looking forward to this series. I'm already like, oh geez, food and movies, and oh my god, should be good.
I agree. And whenever you can get back to the pop culture side, especially when the wrestling side is letting you down, there's always other things to talk about.
We're looking at you, WWE.
Or we're not looking at you, Monday Night Raw.
Yeah. Oh, well played.
All right. Well, until our next Prime Cut and our next wrestling episode, once again, we always thank you for listening, downloading, and subscribing. And until then, we will talk to you next time.
Thank you for listening to this episode. You can subscribe to the Wrestling Brethren podcast on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, Pandora, or wherever you get your podcast fix to hear the latest discussion from the Wrestling Brethren. You can visit us at twbpodcast.com for posts and episodes. Visit the mothership, if you will, at behindthesquaredcircle.com, home of the Behind the Squared Circle podcast network. Let us know your thoughts, questions, and comments at Twitter at TWBPShow, on Facebook at facebook.com/behindthesquaredcircle, and on Instagram at The Wrestling Brethren. You can follow Jarrett on Twitter at JarrettAlbrey5150, and you can follow Josh at SouthpawJosh. Thank you again for listening, and we will talk to you again soon with more from The Wrestling Brethren.